Good morning, family. I'm an addict. My name is Rich.
Rich.
I want to thank the God of my understanding for everything. I want to thank the God of my understanding for getting us here safely. I want to thank the God of my understanding for helping me find the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank the God of my life for saving my life. I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for changing my life. 12 steps, 12 traditions, a sponsor, a home group, a support network, a group of guys that give a fuck about me. I want to thank this committee for doing what they always do, calling me at the last minute and asking me to share. I want to thank my sponsor for preparing me for right now, because he started working on me the minute I got here. Because when I got here, I was hopeless, helpless, I was defeated. My ass was whooped. I heard somebody last night sharing that they weighed 138 pounds when they got here. I was jealous. I weighed 98. And I thought I looked good. I knew I looked good. Denial run deep in this addict. I want to tell you, when I first got to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't like y'all. I was prejudiced. I didn't like me, so I couldn't like you. But you taught me how to love myself. You told me, let us love you till you can love yourself. I believed you. You hugged me. You welcomed. This was the last place that welcomed this addict. There were a lot of doors locked for me. I got locked out of my own house. I owned a house and I was homeless. That ain't my story today. I got a beautiful house. I want to tell you, 10 minutes ago I was upstairs getting ready for this, and I'm passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. I love this program. This program has given me my life back. I get excited when I get up here. It's not a fearful thing for me to get up here, but I get excited. So I do like the NFL players. I go upstairs and I throw up. So I'm ready. And then I prayed. And I asked God to help me share his message, because this is God's message. And I closed this convention a few years ago, and my sponsor had me looking like a penguin. I had this black suit on, and this black pair, black suit, black shoes, and I was going through this phase where I was growing my hair long again, and I had gel in my hair, and they hid the gel in the morning. So I had this thing going on like this, and at the last minute they gave me my gel back, so I came back slick, looking good. I listened to that tape last week, and I want to tell you, we changed in Narcotics Anonymous. And the topic here today is, what's the name of this workshop? Why won't you tell me who I am? Or no, why won't I tell you who I am? I want to tell you, I listened to that tape when I closed this convention 3 years ago, and I want to tell you, I committed a fraud. 3 years ago, I thought I was sharing the truth. What I did is I 24-karat plated some shit so it wouldn't stink. I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship with another woman, and my sponsor's fiance introduced me to this woman that I knew before I got clean. And I used to do some shitty stuff with her, but I was clean, and I was in recovery, so I was going to treat her right. I wasn't over the other woman yet, so she was really a stunt woman. She was there for the physical part. There was no emotion. My kids didn't like her. She was a flat-out drunk. She would come to my house staggering drunk, scare the shit out of my kids. But I didn't care, because she was a stunt woman. But I told everybody how much I cared for her and how much I wanted to repair the harm I had caused her. I needed to repair the harm I had caused myself. Because it talks in the literature that we cause ourselves some great harm. And just because I stopped using almost 9 years ago, it doesn't mean the harm has stopped. It says, addicts tend to lead secret lives. For many years, we cover our low self-esteem by hiding behind phony images that we hope would fool people. Unfortunately, we fooled ourselves more than anyone. Although we often appeared attractive and confident on the outside, we were really hiding in a shaky, insecure person on the inside. The masks have to go. The masks have to go. last night I saw a friend of mine from Buffalo, and she looked at me and she said, "You look tired." I said, "No, I'm all right, baby." I lied to her. I've been working 60 hours a week every week for a long time. I got my kids, I got three kids back in my life again. I don't have them, I'm not a full-time, yes, I am a full-time daddy because I talk to them every day, but I have them on weekends and I have them on Tuesday nights. And Thursday I worked 13 hours and I came home and I had to get my law and order in before I went to bed. So I was up till midnight and then I had to get up at 6 o'clock to get ready to go to work because I had some responsibilities at work I had to take care of before I got here. And I took care of the responsibilities, I had to take care of at work, and then everybody started calling and wanted to back out of this thing because of the weather or whatever was going on. But I was coming. And one of the guys called and said, "Well, he's not going, are you?" I said, "I'm going. I'm leaving at 3. If you want to go, be at the house at 3. And then everybody else decided to go, so we came. But I was tired. So I don't take great care of myself. I caught a heart attack a couple months ago. I'm on some drugs for that. They got me on Toprol and Lipitor and baby aspirin, and they did this catheterization where they went up through my crotch and they checked my heart and said my heart seems to be okay, but I was in some pain and I had all the symptoms and I had the symptoms for a few weeks and I didn't tell anybody. You know, I didn't want anybody to worry about me. I really don't want you all to know who I am, because I'm afraid you might not hug me when you find out who I am. You know, I want you to believe that I am the best father in the world. I want you to believe that I'm the best husband in the world. I want you to believe I'm the best friend you could ever have. I want you to believe that I am the ultimate weapon for the next addict to walk through that door. But on any given day, I could fuck up anything. And I, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, the house was empty. I didn't have the kids, and my wife was at work, and I just didn't feel right. And I cleaned the house, and I mean, when I had to do something because I couldn't sit down. And I live in this, I'm telling you, I live in a, God has blessed me with a beautiful home, and a beautiful wife, and a beautiful family. And I got done cleaning the house, and it was about 1 o'clock. And I sat in the den, and I just started crying. And it was kicking up some shit in me. And I'm looking around, and the house really didn't matter. The Porsche in the garage didn't really matter. The wife really didn't matter. The kids didn't really, nothing really mattered. I was sitting in the room I used to get high in. And I was by myself. And I didn't see anything else around me. All I saw that I was by myself. And when my sponsor always says, if you really think you're doing well, turn the lights off, turn the music off, turn the TV off, and sit by yourself for 10 minutes. And I didn't call anybody. For 3 hours, I sat there and cried. I told him about it the next day. And he said to me, "Who'd you call?" I said, "No one." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I was ashamed. I shouldn't be there. I should be in a better place." At 5 years clean, I wanted to commit suicide. I got a big mouth. At my four-year anniversary, I said I'd lay a million-to-one odds I'd never use again. A bunch of wise motherfuckers came up with dollars on the table. You know, I'm supposed to be using right now. I'm defying the laws of nature. An addict, by definition, should be high. It's Saturday morning. I got clean drawers on. It's Saturday morning. I got a press shirt on because my sponsor said, "You're representing Narcotics Anonymous. You need not wear one of them shirts you got with the holes in them. You need not wear them jeans you got with the holes in them. You need not wear them sneakers you wear with the curled up toes in them." He said, "You represent Narcotics Anonymous. Look like a recovering addict. Sound like a recovering addict. You've done some work. Share what you know." That's what I'm going to try and do this morning. I come from the Triple Cities area, Narcotics Anonymous. My home group meets every Monday night at 7 o'clock. We are a step meeting home group. We work out of the flat book every Monday night. we've taken an ass whooping in our area for it. They've told us we're breaking traditions. And I ask them, tell me what tradition we're breaking, we'll stop the meeting. And they shut up and go away. We went from a meeting that met on Monday nights that had 60 or 70 people in attendance every Monday night, because it would be, the meeting format would be who fucked who on Saturday night, and then who found out about who got fucked on Saturday night, and who beat who up on Sunday and wound up in jail. So we weren't really sharing a message of recovery. We were sharing the contradiction and confusion, the chaos that comes along with us. So we decided to come out of the flat book. We decided to come out of the literature, because there's no misinformation here. We're down to about 20 addicts a week, but we meet every Monday night at 7 o'clock to 8:30 at 38 Carroll Street. If you're in Binghamton on a Monday night and you'd like to hear some recovery, please stop in and see us. You are more than welcome. Step work has been a very powerful tool in my life. I'm grateful that I had a sponsor that did not let me sit back, because when I got here, I said, would you sponsor me? And he said, it would be my pleasure. I'm thinking, what's this going to cost me? Because I didn't understand that unconditional love. I didn't understand that it was just another addict wanted to see somebody that was sick and suffering and in pain. And the pain was obvious on my face. It was obvious in my emotions. It was obvious in everything I did. And he saw him in me. And I didn't understand it at the time. He just had walked. God felt sorry for his ass a little earlier than mine. And he had just walked in before me so he could be here when I got here. God, in his infinite wisdom, brought Wes to Binghamton to meet me at a door to save my ass, because I didn't want to stay here. I only came here for a minute or two because I wanted to figure out how to get back to just doing a bag on a Saturday night and laying on the sofa and kicking and listening to some Coltrane. Because I'm coming up on 9 years next month, and I can still romanticize a bag of dope. It scares me. But I got a lot of tools that keep that bag away. I've heard that the next bag is an arm's length away. But before I could reach my arm out, I got God. I got Narcotics Anonymous. I got 12 steps. I got 12 traditions. I got a sponsor. I got a support network. I got a family that loves the shit out of me now. I got a lot of shit in the way of that next bag. But I got to continue to do the work. And I got to continue to be honest. I got to continue to let you know who Richie E. is. When I got here, I was under the confused thought that I was a good parent, because I used to take my kids with me to cop. I wouldn't leave them home alone. So I would ask them to sit in the car, and I'd have to go in and get right before I get back in the car, but then we'd go home. I was under the illusion that I was a good brother. I stole anything that wasn't bolted. I got 5 brothers and sisters. At the end, I was not welcome in anybody's house. And I told you I got thrown out of my house, so I bounced from house to house to house to house to house. I now have keys to 5 different houses. I own a business that I didn't have the keys to, that I didn't have the combinations to the safe to. I'm the first one. You told me to show up early and stay late. I am the first member of my family to work every morning. I unlock the doors. I unlock the safes. I get our deliveries out before my brothers are out of bed, because that's what you taught me to do. See, I don't really want you to know that the woman I'm married to was the woman I was sleeping with on the side when I was living with this girl that broke my heart when she left. I was ashamed of that. And it caused me a great deal of pain. It affected some relationships that I have built with people in Narcotics Anonymous over the last 8 years. But I had to free myself of it, because I had no choice, because the shit was going to hit the fan. And I was either going to lose my sponsor and a big part of my support group, or tell the truth. And that came to blows a month ago. And it was not comfortable. But the pain has subsided. Once something is exposed to the light, it dies. Give me that phone. I went to a convention in Rochester with the intention of waxing this girl's ass. And I did it. I paid the repercussions for 2 years. I didn't want anybody to know. Y'all knew before I came back downstairs. You can't fiend the dope fiend. God has put some people in my life that will not permit me. No, that I don't have the privilege to lie to. They know me better than I know me. They talk about the ultimate weapon being another recovering addict. I bought into that. I also bought into the lie is dead. I bought into the exact nature of it. Once a dope fiend, always a dope fiend. That shit is dead. We were joking this morning. I was joking with Angel this morning. I made him smile to see if he had that gold tooth bridge in. And I said, 10 years ago, I would have stole that tooth from his mouth. And I would have. I formed some close bonds with some of the men in this room, some of the women in the rooms too. You know, they say men with the men, women with the women, but there's some women in the rooms I'm close to. One of them in particular is, Wes's fiance, Shalia, and, we didn't speak for almost 2 years. And it was because of some bullshit. And it hurts. It still hurts today because I hurt her. And we talked about it and everything, but I told her to go fuck herself. Because she disrespected me. I had disrespected myself my whole life. I had to do every act of self-degradation I did in order to get here. And looking back, I'm grateful I did every act of self-degradation I did in order to get here. Because maybe if I had missed one bag, maybe if I had missed seeing my kids cry one time, I might not be standing right here today. You know, but... time in Narcotics Anonymous is a funny thing. Because people look at you when you got time and they don't expect you to act out. And I take a lot of criticism in my area. Because I don't back down. I don't cowtail. I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I believe in 12 steps. I believe in 12 traditions. I believe the literature is the way for me to live a new way of life. I've yet to find any misinformation in these books. But you start talking about 12 steps, you start talking about 12 traditions, and people start telling you you're pontificating. You know, who the fuck are you to read out of the book? Who's the one that told me to buy the book? Who's the one that told me to use the book? Who's the one that told me that the program would save my life? The Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is a beautiful thing, but it's the program that changed my life. You guys hang on to me when I can't hold up for myself, when I can't get out of bed, when I'm in that fetal position, and I've been in the fetal position clean. You're the ones that come and caress my head and tell me, Richie, it'll be okay. You will make it through it. I tell you, I came this close to committing suicide 4 years ago. I had a tree picked out. I had insurance policies in place. I had guys at my door. I wouldn't answer the door. I stayed in bed for 3 days with the light. I felt like I was kicking all over again. I forgot I gave Wes a key to the house. And he showed up with like 7-8 guys, and they sat downstairs and waited for me, and I had to go to a convention because I was asked to speak at a convention, and I told him I wasn't going. Remember that, Wes? I was laying naked in bed. He said, get up, put some clothes on. I said, I ain't going nowhere. He said, don't make me take you there naked. It ain't going to be pretty. I believe if I hadn't gone to that convention and spoke, I would have gone the other way. But I was ashamed to let you know that with 5 years clean, I was thinking of using again. That I wanted to commit suicide. That I had put a person in front of God. That I had let myself get so wrapped up in someone, or something rather, that I had lost sight of what was really important. I got a full life today. I got 3 kids that love their daddy. That one of them called me this morning to make sure I was going to pick them up on the way home so he could come over with me and watch the Giants whoop New England's ass this afternoon. And he just wanted to make sure I didn't forget I was going to pick him up. He's 11 years old. He was born with a bunch of birth defects. See, I don't want you to know that when he was in Buffalo Children's Hospital, I was stealing his morphine. So I don't know what pain I caused him. But I had to do what I had to do because I was active at the time. And they told me he wasn't going to live a day, so I brought enough dope with me for a day. You know, and every day they say, kiss him goodnight. You might not see him in the morning. He's 11 years old now. He played baseball for the last 2 years. They won the city championship the year before. They finished second. And my guys go to the games with us. I got another daughter who I, my oldest baby, my daughter Jeanette. She's 22 now. She's a young woman. When she was 13 years old, I broke her heart. It was on a Friday night, and Friday night was payday, so Friday was get right day. And my ex had dropped him off at the house, and I'm telling you, I weighed 98 pounds when I went to rehab. This was 3 days before it. And she's 13 years old, and she looked at me and said, Daddy, the tears, only the way a kid can cry, with the tears coming down her eyes and the boogers blowing out her nose. And I looked at her and said, what's wrong with you? She looked at me and said, Daddy, you're dying. I said, what are you talking about? She said, look at you. You don't eat. You don't sleep. You're gray. Your eyes are sunk back in your head. We learned about the virus in school today. Daddy, you got the virus. You're leaving us. I didn't want to feel it. I didn't want to hear it. I had to go upstairs and do a couple more. The next day, her mother came over and said, you will never have the privilege of seeing your daughter again. I have 2 other kids from another wife. I'm on my 3rd marriage. By all rights, she could have taken those kids away from me too, and she didn't. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that I have my children in my life today, because we talk about priorities, and I heard somebody talking about, we had the double shot of Wes's last night. That was a beautiful thing. And Wes was talking about priorities, and he used to ring that shit in my head. God, recovery, family, then work. Without God, none of this is possible for me. Let me throw out recovery, the rest of it's gone. Let me forget about my family. What do I really got? So I got a baby that I stole all her money from, all her college money. And I've been working my ass off. She's a senior in college right now, and she did not have to borrow a dime of tuition money. And I'm telling you, it's had me strapped for 4 years. Her tuition is $44,000 a year, and she has not borrowed a dime. She called me yesterday morning. She called me to thank me. She got accepted to Albany Medical School for a full ride. She's going to be a doctor. She got a full ride for 5 years, and they're going to pay her $15,000 a year to go to school.
She called me to thank this bum. I want to read you some unapproved NA literature. My birthday was last month. She said, Daddy, I've needed you all of my life. The what fors might have changed through the years, but the how much is still there. And today I just wanted to say thanks, Daddy. She said, I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Thanks for everything you do for me. You are the best. But I don't want you to know what I did to her. I don't want you to know how scared she was of me. I want to tell you how important a fifth step is. That we can free ourselves of this shit. That we don't have to hold on to it. I'm telling you, a newcomer, get a sponsor. Do some work. Get that flat book. Open it and do some work. Because once we do the work, we come to terms with what happened. And we come to terms with why they happened. I wasn't responsible for what I did when I was active. I'm sure as shit responsible for it now. What happens now is my responsibility. But in the third step, I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand it, so I know God got me. He had me the whole time. I just didn't know it. You know, I was convinced I brought myself to Narcotics Anonymous. Shit. I was a smart motherfucker when I got here. I looked around the room and said, thank God I'm here. You all look sick and need some help. I was convinced I could save you all. I could barely hang on to the wall. Because I stood in the back shitting, shaking, and shivering. I was kicking like Bruce Lee. And all you did was love me. And, you know, I have the uncanny ability to make some money. But I was afraid to bring you guys to my house. Because you invited me to your house first, and I saw it, and I felt less than because I had more. I told you I got this red Porsche. I drove it 40 miles last year. Something inside me told me I need to go buy a hoopty car to drive up to a meeting in. My sponsor says, fuck that. Drive that Porsche to the meeting. Show a newcomer what they can get if they stay clean. Don't be ashamed of what you got. I came here with low self-esteem. No, I came here with no self-esteem. I got a little bit now. It's taken me 9 years to get a little bit. I had this uncanny forte to beat the shit out of myself. I had this ability to hide what I'm feeling or try and hide what I'm feeling because I think I'm supposed to be here when I'm really supposed to be here. You know, I'm always wondering why I'm called to ask at conventions because I always feel less than when I get up here because I listen and the guy's got 17, they got 20 years and you know, I'm looking right now and I got my sponsor, my grand sponsor sitting here and I don't want to make fools out of them because I know my lineage, I know where my juice comes from. You know, so I stand up here and I don't want to fuck up. I don't want to give you any misinformation. You know, there's days that I really don't want you to know who I am or what I'm thinking. Because I'm afraid you might not hug me when I leave the meeting. But I want to tell you, the first time I came to a meeting and told you I was an addict, you knew who I was. You knew that fear and pain were what brought me here. I know that faith in God will keep me here. It is so important to do the work. My sponsor did not give me the luxury of taking my time with the steps. I had about 3 or 4 weeks clean. I said, sponsor, when are we going to start some step work? And he said, when you want to get better. He was relentless. I did not have the ability to sit back, and I am grateful. You know, we were talking about it the other day. I've got 5 or 6 sponsors, and I've yet to take a guy through 12. And it's not my, that's a reflection on their recovery. I can't make them write. I can't make them read. I did 12. I'm doing it again. I did the traditions. And I did it for me. And everybody else reaped the benefits. No, I get it. But my kids reap the benefits. My son Jack is peeing his pants waiting for me to get home. My daughter texted me this morning, thank you. I'd read the text, but I've got too much shit in my eyes right now, crying. She sent me a text this morning again, thanking me. I'm thinking, why are you thanking me, baby? I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything I wasn't supposed to do. This is what I was supposed to do the whole time. You know, I didn't want you guys to know that I abused my kids mentally. I did not abuse them physically, but there are some scars that must run deep in them. And the only reason I know that is because I have scars from my parents. You know, and the chain can be broken. I went to school to be an attorney. I quit my senior year just to piss my father off. You know, I cut off my nose to spite my face. I am so proud that my daughter is doing what she is doing. I am so proud that God allowed me to help her do what she is doing. I'm not telling you I'm going without helping her. It's just I'm telling you I'm tired. And I got two more behind her. And I had a trust fund set up for both of them. And all three of them, and I fucked them all up. So it's my responsibility. And the only way I can fill that responsibility is staying in Narcotics Anonymous. The only way I can fill that responsibility is to stay here and look for that newcomer and help that newcomer. Because I say the highest aspiration any addict can help, ever any addict can have, is helping a sick and suffering addict. And any day I could be that sick and suffering addict. You don't have to have 3 days clean to be sick and suffering. You can have 17 years and be sick and suffering. You can have 20 years and be sick and suffering. This is whether or not I can let go of the false pride and tell you what I'm hurting. Tell you who I am, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And ask for your help. Because nothing I've done is something that hasn't been done. You know, that lady that I was having the affair with is my wife today. You know, and we love each other. And I never thought I'd have another chance at love. And I'm telling you, it ain't all the, I'm 51 years old. It ain't all this much humping and bumping. We talk a lot. You know, she likes to sit on the sofa. I like to sit on the love seat, but she wants me to sit next to her on the sofa. So I sit next to her on the sofa. She likes to hold hands. I don't like to hold hands, but I hold her hand. I'm just grateful I got the opportunity afforded to me to become the person God had intended me to be in the first place. And all I need to do is tell you guys where I'm at. Fuck my pride. No, fuck my false pride. I'm a proud member of Narcotics Anonymous. And newcomer, if you don't believe this shit works, believe I believe it works. Because I was and never was. I quit using 1,000 times. I came to Narcotics Anonymous. Relapse is not part of my story. It doesn't have to be part of your story. You can come in these rooms and stay clean from the get-go. Get some people in your life. Do some work. Get a home group. Get a sponsor. Get a God. Thank you for letting me share.